Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today. You bet $100, you get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. All right, D-Gens, welcome back. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer, and very special guest, Jeff Feinberg, for the Honda Classic Betting Show. Jeff, thanks for coming back on, bro.
Always, always happy to join you, and I'm looking forward to the Honda.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I wanted you on for the elevated event, and you were like, nah, let me come on for the shit event. And listen, I appreciate it because it's the only way we're going to get downloads for this terrible week. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, listen, I think I was away or the timing didn't work out. And then there were some hurdles and it was like, yeah, I like the Honda. If you want to have me on for the Honda, that'll work perfectly for my schedule. I wouldn't have fought you on wanting to invite me later, but maybe you can find me back for a later in the season, bigger event,
a different event. Yeah.
I like the Honda. It's sad what's happened to it. We'll see what the future has for it. It's unfortunate. But it's a nice, it's a fun event. It's honestly very different. I mean, the field isn't as strong, but it's honestly a course that, as PGA fans, we really don't get this sort of experience much at all, if ever, during the season. So I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking last night about how, like, we're talking about course history with this place, where it just seems like it doesn't matter. I think, we brought up Ricky Fowler as an example, where I think he went, like, win, cut, second cut. And you're right, like, just there are kind of very few places where there's this much penalty areas, this much car crashes. It's always entertaining to go to, like, YouTube, like, afterwards, go to PGA Tour Live, like, their Golf is Hard series, and then you just see guys just embarrassing themselves. I know Shane Lowry was caught on a hot mic one time, I think, in the Bear Trap. It's fun. It's entertaining. You're right. I mean, like, the golf course, I mean, in my opinion, it's fine, but, if you watch NASCAR for the car crashes, this is the event for you.
And that's maybe one of the reasons, even when the field – sorry, before we were in this elevated event world – a lot of the elite players didn't like coming here to begin with. They had no interest in being humbled, not to say they couldn't do well, but I don't know if you guys follow Greg Chalmers on Twitter. He was taking pictures all day. The course looks like it's in great condition, but he's taking pictures from these tee boxes, and you better be able to hit it straight, or you better be able to hit it how you want, or it's just got to be concerning that one. Your guy could be running so pure, and one swing won't mean bogey. It won't. It will mean he'll tumble. He'll tumble down that board, not a stroke down the board.
Yeah, multiple strokes. I think that's why I enjoy it, right? Because I have to golf down here, and it doesn't matter what course you play in Florida. There's fucking water everywhere, and it's intimidating. Like, I don't give a shit how good of a golfer you are. If your sight line is water all down the left, you're thinking about that water down the goddamn left.
I'm not comparing myself to anything or anyone. I am, some of my friends might say I'm being kind. Others might say I'm being hard on myself. I'm like a 14-15 handicap. I golf at home. It's a pretty hard course that I play at. The difference is there's no water, and I've lost plenty of balls. This is not, I'm not above losing balls. But it can, even my friend's show, you know, it's a and they can set it up to play hard, but it's for a bunch of, you know, old Jewish people to play for. I'm allowed to say that, for lack of a better term. It's not set up to be difficult. It's not set up that, you know, to lose balls. I go to Florida and golf, guys. I lose so many balls, and I feel like I'm hitting the exact same shot off the tee that I am at home, except there just isn't this huge pond on every single hole. Like, I might be in the trees, but I'm not losing a ball at home.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like, I live basically up in the Northeast with you here. I mean, you're in Canada, I'm in Rochester, New York. It's the same experience here. Just, you know, if you hit a little bit offline, you got a tree to kind of knock it back into the fairway. And in Florida, like, you know, I go and visit my parents down there, and you're right, I have to pack a couple dozen, like a dozen extra balls, because I'm going to lose them. You know, it's gonna seem like a good drive. It's going to leak and leak a little bit, and just in water, I'm just going to get frustrated. And chipping off the Bermuda, too, it's just like, oh, completely a different experience down there.
Oh, I can't, okay. People will say I'm going to Florida later this week, and I'm traveling with two kids and all that brings, and I'm embarrassed to say I'm not bringing my clubs. And part of that decision was, you know, this winter I had a minor setback with my knee, so I'm kind of taking it slowly. A couple indoor sessions haven't gone as I wanted. But what am I going to do? I haven't golfed since October. Now I'm going to schlep my clubs to Florida to play two rounds, if I'm lucky, 27 holes on that sponge Bermuda. I look like, if I'm there, if I could get 3-4 rounds in by the end of the second one, like, I can't wait to play again. But no, it's like golfing on a sponge to me.
That is the most accurate way I've heard someone describe it, because my short game is absolutely fucking horrific. It's because I learned how to golf down here, and it immediately gets in your head chipping off of this shit. And like, I have no confidence on anything around the green. Put me in a fucking bunker, put me 100 yards short. Do not give me anything around the green. Like, it is the absolute worst out here.
And listen, it's like, again, no one's making pro comparisons, but
no,
even the pros, it's not hyperbole. Bermuda, wind, and water. That is, we don't get that to start the season.
Right.
Like, there are some ponds or there's some man-made hazards that we can find at the Amex, and obviously at Pebble there's a thing called the ocean, but it ain't anything like this, or even next week where we're at Bay Hill. And yeah, there are these attackable par fives, but if you're off, like, they're par fives that are kind of, you're hitting onto an island, and you know,
good luck.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, back to the Honda Classic here. So, I mean, obviously you said this is one of your favorite events. I think on, you know, Pat Mayo, you've had a couple of, you know, stories about, you know, really good betting success at the Honda. Any good betting stories you have as far as, like, you know, some memorable stuff you've hit at the Honda you can share with our audience?
Yeah, some great, I guess, Honda memories. Had both legs of the Sergio Scott showdown a few years ago, which was fun. And other than that, no winner's circle until Sungjae, where I was down there, that whole DFS Open. But again, I'm going this time of year. I always kind of go this time of year. If people want to plan a big, fun golf community thing, I would probably be there again, because I'm down there time of year. So that was the year of that, where Sungjae won, and I was actually on the grounds on Sunday with Kenny Kim. Nice. So that was a lot of fun. I was there the year before as well, where it was or maybe 2 years before that, where it was the JT List playoff. Yeah. But Norin and Fleetwood just kind of missed it. But a JT hit one off the rocks and got saved. Sort of a tilting day for betting. But yeah, I don't know. I've lost a lot of money on Gary Woodland around this place. I'm happy he's not here anymore. But yeah, no, it's just always such a fun, always a fun event. I remember it was the year Tiger just came back and he surprised showed up at the Honda, and Sam Ryder beat him on a Sunday.
So crazy.
All sorts of just random memories, and just honestly, putting my ass down at the bear trap and watching balls fall into the water all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good shit. Yeah, I had one of my best gambling weekends here as well. I hit Matt Wolf first, not Matt Wolf, Matt Jones, first round leader, and fucking and Matt Jones for the tournament.
Wow.
That was a great fucking weekend for me. So I've loved this fucking tournament.
Yeah, this one, like first round leader, I don't play a lot of first round leader. I could get tempted maybe this week. It is a, it is a fun one.
It's fun. And like all these fucking plus EV nerds who like want to like tweet and be like, that's not, what are you doing? Like you bet 8 to 10 guys. Yeah, I bet 8 to 10 guys and put like $10 to $25 on just so I can have a Thursday sweat. Like fuck off. Like these people make me insane. Like the plus EV bet community, like they make me nuts.
Yeah, no, there's no plus EV. No, I mean, like, I do outright golf betting.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do the most. So there's nothing out. There's nothing plus EV about that. I joke. It's like buying a car or a piece of jewelry, making an outright golf bet. That's the moment true. You hit submit, it's worthless.
God. Exactly.
Like, we're just doing it like on a Tuesday and on hitting something at dinner time on Sunday that has no chance of happening. But I do it. We go back to the trough every week.
Every week.
As I feel like you've enjoyed me saying this before, I like to consider myself a sophisticated square. Because yes, I can't, I'm not a sharp. A sharp shouldn't be making outright golf bets. Like, because even if you think, oh, my model says he should be 60 to 1 and he's 50 to 1, the hell does that mean? In a tournament with 150 guys, I make too many like, oh, me and my buddies are getting together and everyone likes this. Okay, I'll bet it too. Sharps don't do that.
No.
Sharps don't bet TV games. So I know when I'm being a square, but I also am aware of, like in a football season, I love listening to like sharp guys and their content. I love taking it all in. But come Sunday, I still have my square tendencies of making like degen parlays, or again, me and my buddies were hanging out, like we're gonna muck a team bet on some stupid prop. So, yeah, that's I'm not here for. Listen, you just gotta be authentic, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't call yourself a sharp and then always be, you know, these square bets, and you can't literally be a square making. Betting on Danny Willett because it's something that happened 7 years ago and thinking you're a sharp. Like you're not a lot like it. You can't play it both ways. I don't, I'm authentic in what I'm doing here.
Yeah. I feel prematurely attacked for something I'm going to have later on.
No, I bet Danny Willett too.
Well, there we go. Well, then I'm going to be on your side. We can both commit.
Yeah, no. And I don't know if I'm going to head to the course this week. And some people in Florida have been chirping me about it.
Oh, yeah. If you got somebody in contention, you got to go. But did you trade back it like I told you to last time? Sophisticated square. That, I mean, that is the easily trademarked. Go ahead and trademark it, man. Get Mayo to do it for you.
I can't trademark it. No, well, it's from, I'm not going to lie, because I stole that from the Colin Coward, Chad Millman podcast.
Oh, okay. Millman.
It's not even mine to copyright.
Okay.
But I love it. It's, but
anyway,
it just rang a bell. Like, I know I'm a sophisticated square because I know when I'm making a square bet. Like, I'm hyper aware that I'm making a square bet.
But you're a degenerate because you still pull the trigger.
Because it's a TV game.
Yep.
Like it's a TV game. It's Thursday night football. I'm gonna watch these two shitty AFC South teams play, and I'm gonna bet on it.
Yeah. Our friend Andy yells at me for doing first TD bets, and I'm like, listen, man, it's just for fucking fun,
dude. I have a friend. Me and my friends have a friend like this too, and he thinks he's a sharp. He sees himself like, it's the dumbest bets ever. There's no value. And I'm like, you're yelling at a guy who literally bets outright golf every week.
Right.
Like, you're yelling at the wrong guy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, you bring up a great point. Like, I love the point you made about how, like, the plus EV and outright markets, even if it even fucking exists, like we're betting 60 to 1, 70 to 1, which has a probability of like 1%. I don't really give a shit if your model says it's like 2.2 or anything like that. Exactly. It doesn't matter at that point. So, I mean, like, like I talk about this with Capper a lot too. Like, there's other shows on our network and they get really hyped about, like, oh, we hit a 6 to 1 bet. And like for us in the golf gambling community, if you bet 6 to 1, you know, you're going to get ostracized. You get shamed.
No, we're snobs. We are snobs like that. Someone hits a 6-1 touchdown on Sunday Night Football. We're like, oh, great call, man. Even if it's like the second guy on the board, give the guy props. Guy hits John Rahm. No one's giving you props. Like, no, we just don't care. So, yeah.
Doesn't even move the needle.
We can be snobby like that, but whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
We're our weird little community. It's weird. And, like, not to make you feel old, right? Like, I mean, but when I first started gambling on golf, like, I'd listen to you guys, and I was like, okay. I was like, I could definitely do this. Feinberg seems like he has the same mentality as I do. Like, this seems like this could work out. He seems like he's having fun gambling on golf. So it's your fault is basically what I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. Listen, it can be a grind. I love it.
I like it so much better than like the football, football and hockey. I still do hockey, but like football, like it's just a money pit. I just throw fucking money down the goddamn drain on football the entire year. I'm so happy football season's over.
I'm happy football. It's so funny. Football season ended, the Super Bowl. I had money on the Eagles, a big play. Even acknowledged I hedged out at a point in the game because the Eagles were winning and I was uncomfortable with my stake and people were slipping on the field. I still lost enough. I didn't get out of a loss, that's for sure. The game ended and I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to make a bet till March Madness. And my buddy who doesn't even like follow sport, like he's not even the biggest sports guy in our crew, is like, aren't you waking up tomorrow to bet some stupid golf tournament? I was like, oh my God, you're right. I hate myself.
I got murdered in that game because you went the opposite way. I got more confident. So I was live betting fucking Philadelphia. There needs to be a breathalyzer on my phone for me to access my phone.
No, it was just they were up 6. They just kicked the field goal. I had the Eagles. I had to pick them. But they kicked the field goal to then go up 6 in the second half. And the kicker fell, and they go to commercial. It's like they're up 6. They should have been up 26, and they're up 6. Exactly. And I'm a Chargers fan who's played the Chiefs a lot, being up 6 when it should be up 26. Although we're not going down the path, being up 26 doesn't help the Chargers either, as we found out.
Lots of my friends in Jacksonville were very, 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 very fucking happy for your
happy. Fame. Someone's happy, I guess. Right?
It's the Jaguars. Like, I mean, you guys have your history, right? Like, you know, losing to when you guys should have beat the Patriots.
Lose to everyone. Whatever. I don't even want to go down this road. I'm happy for the Jags. They're fans. We're not rivals. I don't look at the Jags.
No, Jaguars have no rivals. They're the Jaguars.
Yeah, I guess. Golf. I haven't hit a winner this year, so maybe we can break that for me here, or the cold streak continues. But I joked with Mayo. Me going, I'm 0-7. I think there have been 7 events this year or since the new year. I feel like I'm Brooks Koepka walking around my house.
So, I haven't hit a winner since. What was my last winner, Steve? Keegan.
I think Zozo,
Keegan. That was my last fucking winner, was Keegan Bradley. So I feel your pain on that. So you mentioned Brooks. Have you watched the whole Swing Up, Full Swing, whatever the hell it's called on Netflix?
I've watched 6 of the 8.
I never get the name right.
I watched 6 of the 8. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about it so far?
I think if that's the best they got in the most drama filled year ever, then what are they ever going to do if like golf is normal?
Yeah.
Like that's what they got. Yeah. Like Ian Poulter smirking. Like, I'm sorry. There was so much drama. They could have done such. Yeah. That's my overall thought. Yeah. They got so little for what was actually out there last year. And I don't know whether the PGA made them cut shit, but I wouldn't even say that. Like what? Like they literally showed full footage of live events, at least that first one. So it's not like they weren't allowed to even show a logo or anything like that. But yes, my overall consensus is for all the drama that existed last year, I can't believe this is what we got.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of my biggest takeaway too, is that I think I mentioned to Capper when we were talking about it, is listen, like, that was the best year possible to have this Netflix series with the live drama, who's going, who's not. He had some good majors too, like a lot of big names, like, you know, making names for themselves, and just, and some of it just really fell flat. I mean, there were some good moments. I thought the Joel Damon episode was good. I thought it was pretty revealing, just kind of, you know, seeing Brooks Koepka realize that he doesn't have it anymore. That was really depressing as a Brooks Koepka mega fan for years. But you're right. Like, it seemed like there was a lot of just rehashing tournaments that we've already seen, not as much stuff off the course that I kind of wanted. So I feel like if they are going to do this again, maybe they do more like the Joel Damon type episodes, like maybe some like, or like a Tagala episode, stuff like that.
They got guys. Yeah. I mean, they got to literally do the bottom barrel. How many guys get their card? 125?
Yeah.
No, not even anymore, right? Did they change that?
Let's say it's 100 guys get their card. Right. You've got to have like the guy 105 and the guy 95.
Yeah.
Like that's who's got to be followed here.
Yeah.
And like it seemed like, okay, how can we fly? The producers like only want assignments that include private planes. I don't blame them.
Right.
But, you know, the great thing about Hard Knocks is you see the guy who's 56 on the roster
trying to be the
52nd. But we know the reality of how hard it is to be that 52nd guy that gets inside the line.
Yeah.
So that's what we should have seen. It's not for us. We're hardcore fans. Even the Damon stuff, the Finau stuff is amazing and maybe the best. If you actively follow the PGA Tour, Joel, their Twitter account has told you the Gino Joel story. And we're so deep into it. So that's like a criticism of, like, I'm not criticizing them for it. Right. I'm just saying if you're actively follow the tour, we all know Finau's great. Like the PGA Twitter feed showed you that there's a video of 40 friends and family waiting for, like, it's all
waiting for it.
Yeah. Knowing last year, watching golf, betting on Finau, wondering like, what the fuck is going on here, man? And he didn't turn it on till Mexico, where he came second to Rahm, and then he kind of went berserk. But obviously, there was a part of, I didn't like, he's traveling with his family all the time. Like, that obviously has a work-life balance. That's crazy. My favorite thing I saw was the Morikawa scripting scene with him in a meeting with Adidas. That's the shit I like.
Yeah.
Or Joel Damon walking by Rory and JT or someone in the cafeteria.
That I equated that to being like a freshman in high school and having to walk past like the lunch table of all the cheerleaders on the varsity team. Yeah, being like, hey, what's up? And you being like, hey.
Yeah, and the cheerleaders are like, oh, you're playing, you're doing good. Keep it up. Like,
it's awesome.
And I could do an hour on the Brooks thing. Mayo and I and Ben Raza released the first three episodes preview where we went into it deep. I don't think they did him any favors. And it's a power of editing. So they obviously didn't make him look great. And they end that with us. Here's the thing. We watched that Brooks episode with 500 other puzzle pieces.
Right. Right.
That show doesn't show us. The amazingness of what we witnessed and the parts of I only practice when you see me on TV is when I practice. But he remained a walking contradiction because there's moments in that episode where he's like, he doesn't care and it's golf and he'll be fine. And then there's moments where he's all consuming and it's all he cares about. So like even within that episode, he remained the living contradiction that he is, but there's no way a non-golf fan can watch that and have the same experience as us because we have so many puzzle pieces that episode doesn't show. And for them to almost making it like, I don't think they did his path justice. I could give Brooks Koepka sympathy. Let me know the surgeries. Literally go one by one, like point to it, show it, put up a graphic, talk me through it. I know you've been beaten down. But it's all like just rumor and innuendo. Tell us this knee that. I had this knee that. I've had this wrist that. Like, you can make, not to say we'd have sympathy for him, but there's a way to, you guys get what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. He's not innocent.
Show me the show. Yes.
Yeah.
Show me the real struggle, because you're right, because the person who doesn't know Brooks and doesn't follow it and hasn't bet him automatically at 40-1 for the past fucking 4 years doesn't know, like you said, all the struggles that his body has gone through. And for me, like, I like Brooks. I wasn't as big of a Brooks guy as Steve was. And God, man, it was just
the episode, guys.
It was gutting.
I get they got to do the Spieth friendship, JT. But the episode, the story to tell in that show is a Spieth Brooks episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where Spieth is coming out of the dark passengers. All those questions. Spieth won all those majors that you won, Brooks. I mean, different order, different majors. But he had that path of 15 minutes, instant multiple majors. And then questions arise, more so mental than physical with Spieth. But then show him winning at Valero and be like, this is a guy who's coming out of what Brooks is now in. It's not for us, but at the same time, if it exists in the end, it only exists because there's so many people who love and watch golf and it's not really ever going to hit the outside. I guess I'd watch. I don't know, man. Part of me ended up watching it like I'm watching this because we are, like, for content. And part of it felt more like a chore. I mean it. But listen, I'm sitting down watching a half-hour show. I'm not looking like it's a chore. But part of me is like, I'd rather watch this other show I'm watching where we're killing terrorists.
I was hoping just for, like, little nuggets. Like, after, like, the first two episodes, I was like, okay, this isn't what I was all excited for. Right. Give me, like, two nuggets to make me just a little bit happy on each episode. You know what I mean? Some shit that, like, will get me all geeked up for no reason. But yeah.
But
I
mean, you gotta admit, depressed Brooks Koepka still leaves a funner life than Scottie Scheffler.
No question.
Who's at the top of the world, Scott. He just goes for walks, plays board game, reads his Bible. Depressed Brooks Koepka still hanging out by
with
his
Jenna
pool,
by the pool. Exactly.
He's probably going to go out to a nice dinner club later in the day.
Yeah. Scotty is the biggest, like, just white bread, vanilla, just bro, so plain.
If that's all they got out of, think of, if that's the best they got out of Scotty, they must, the hours of bore, like, it was boring. So think about how much boring stock footage they did not use. If that's the good footage that they got.
Well, here's what I'm wondering. So the story came out after the Masters about how that morning, like, Scotty went to his fiance and said he doesn't know how good, like, if he can actually win this Masters. Like, where is that? Like, where is any of that storyline? They're great following point. Him. So
again, we watch you, Steve, and I, and all of us, and even people who are watching this now, we watch that show. And we have 500 other puzzle pieces to every scene.
That's
a puzzle piece that you have for following the Masters, following Scheffler, following that day that you know existed that the show is not putting on.
Right. So I like the F1 show. I mean, that's kind of the comparable to this. And I almost feel like, because I'm not a giant F1 junkie, but I like the show. I like how, you know, they kind of portray the races. And I almost feel like if we weren't just hardcore golf fans, I think we probably would end up enjoying it because, listen, ignorance is just bliss at this point. We don't have the puzzle pieces.
If you weren't a golf fan, you might enjoy the scenes of the actual golf events more.
Right.
Like, because I watched that F1 show. I don't know who wins this race in Istanbul. Like, I don't know if the guy that needs to finish seventh gets it and the drama they create with that. But I'm watching the golf. I know all the results. You're trying to build up a situation. We know what happened. No, that's our fault. Like, we're like, that's not on the show.
Right.
But we all agree that our favorite scenes, our least favorite scenes, were the actual on-course breakdowns because we couldn't get into the drama that they were trying to create. Well, our favorite scenes are just the, like, total behind fourth wall in a locker room, all that sort of stuff. Even Morikawa playing with gloves. Like, that's the sort of shit. You're like, you're always wondering. All that sort of stuff. That's the stuff I like to see. Like, way more than anything they could take me back to an event and tell me.
I guess I got the impression when I think last year there was word that Fitzpatrick was mic'd up at, I think, WGC match play. So I was on the assumption that we were probably going to get like conversations on the course, like some of that chatter and everything. Like we're going to hear that. And we didn't really hear that. It was just them basically playing the broadcast the entire time. So, yeah, that was this point. Capper, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, it's just the scar tissue that I complained about last night or whenever we talked about it. Just all my second place tickets. Like it was like every fucking event.
I don't want to relive any of these events.
No. So the only event that made me happy was fucking reliving the Open when Cam Smith fucking stole the Open. And that was the only happy tournament of the entire fucking show that they showed me. Other than that, I was like, oh yeah, I had the Lowry ticket when he chipped in the water. Oh yeah, I had this when fucking he went sideways here. Like, oh,
yeah. Oh yeah, I had Scotty blown a 6-shot lead at the Tour Championship. That was great. After Rory triples the opening hole, I forgot about that nugget. Yeah, not awesome. So
not great.
So why don't we get back to the Honda?
Before we do Honda, let's pay the bills. All right. So listen, WynnBET is the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there's tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays, aka WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. If you're ready to play, sign up today to receive a special offer, bet $100 and get $100 limited state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. And all you got to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Okay.
I still read it, but I have that whole disclaimer memorized by now, but I'm afraid to fuck it up like one word.
you know the phone number by heart.
But I know the whole disclaimer by heart, but I'm afraid if I mess it up, like some regulatory guy is gonna come take me to jail.
I think you'll be okay. All right, so Jeff, so why don't we get back to the Honda real quick? So you know, we'll go over outrights in just a bit. So this tournament, obviously really weak field. This is also a golf course that has a ton of car crashes. So I guess, how did you approach it? Between just a field with not a whole lot of stats to rely on, a golf course that you can't really rely on a lot of course history behind it. How'd you end up kind of formulating from a high level, like who, you know, some of the types of guys that are on your betting card?
Well, firstly, as we sort of go back to the degen stuff, it's sort of the moment of, well, once I go to Florida, I'm not going to be able to bet because of regulation. I'll be locked out of all my books that need to geolocate me back to home. And I might go there. So I'm like, do I want to overbet this thing? I just want to like have a slew of bodies. So, you know, I'm going to maybe be there. But as you said, I'm not seeing the golf board well right now. Maybe unless you hit in betting the chalk or, you know, love betting Max Homa, which I don't. So I haven't been winning. I have the shortest bet I have is 40-1 right now. I'm not opposed to going shorter, but we've seen the long shots. It's not even that the good players win the tournaments. The good player, like the shorter odds in the field, win the tournaments.
Right.
I mean, you could debate. I mean, it's fun to see Justin Rose winning, and we could have an argument like if Denny McCarthy wins, like, well, fine, like you say, only good players win. He's not good. It's just relative to the odds board of the week.
Right.
So part of that aspect in my head is like, why not just betting like three guys under 30-1 and call it a week? But no,
nope, because you can still miss because John Rahm exists. Like I basically did the same thing. I took fucking like three guys under 40-1 last week and like one guy over 50 and still fucking.
Yeah,
there's the volatility. You. This is the thing I say about this one, which can get expensive. If you believe, like, if there's a schmuck you like, my schmuck happens to be Danny Willett. You believe a guy can shoot 1.5 under a day, 2 under a day, he's gonna win this thing.
Yeah,
or he's gonna be right where you want him to be Sunday at dinner time if he shoots 1.5, plays every day 1.5, 2 under. And any pro golfer, yes, this course is hard. Anyone I want to bet on, I'm quickly able to convince myself, yeah, that guy can plot around here at 1 under, 2 under a day and we'll be fine. So in that aspect, events like this almost like can get dangerous because you almost want to overbet guys you trust in the slightest. But no, I still got room for more guys, and that's a very long-winded answer. I'm saying I'm still kind of all over the place. It's just a lot of international flags on my betting card at the moment.
I guarantee you, Steve is going to be able, because you're a Dietrich guy too, right?
Yeah, but I haven't pulled that trigger yet.
Okay, Steve, tell him what you told me last night that made me live bet it fucking while we were doing the podcast.
I went deep on some Euro courses with a lot of water on them. And apparently Thomas Dietrich has a lot of success in some European Tour courses with a lot of water. Like Le Golf National, the Ryder Cup venue. I think he's got a couple top 10s there. Something called the Porsche European Open at Green Eagles. He's got a T2 there, a T15. A lot of really good finishes on the lot of courses with water. But like that's kind of been my strategy this week. Like I asked you to... No, because I'm a big stats guy, and I just look at this field. I'm like, all these guys are just junk. Like, I can go down a rabbit hole about putting stats from 5 feet or like a bunker stat, but at the end of the day, I kind of just went a little more gut with, all right, like, have I seen you kind of perform well at some other golf courses? A lot of penalties in them because this is a very volatile tournament. I kind of actually a little bit expanding on what you've talked about as far as like what types of guys have been hitting. It's not necessarily premium players per se. But even like in these crap fields, it's been guys who kind of have shorter odds who've had been, you know, basically veterans have kind of won before, have a little bit of gray under their chin a little bit, you know, a lot of just moxie because there's a lot of unproven guys and you can go with, you know, the flavor of the weeks. But, you know, you mentioned the Justin Rose, like it's Sony, Siwoo Kim. That wasn't a very, you know, deep field. Siwoo Kim, prolific winner, you know, he's won a lot. Mayakoba, Russell Henley, you got Bermuda, Seamus Power. You know, guy in the mix, like
yeah, win field. Equity, bit of name value.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. So that's what's been happening. Yeah. Shit. I haven't bet Harris English, but that list kind of screams Harris English, doesn't it?
It does. Kind of. I was talking about him last night. I got him somewhere else on my CAD right now. I haven't been able to fucking pull the trigger because he did it all with his fucking putter, but to me, he cut all the other like approach stats off the tee stats. He cut the negative in half from week to week. So if the trend continues, Harris English is such a much better golfer than all the guys he's priced around.
Yeah. So let me ask one more question before we get into your pick. So, I mean, you brought up the discussion about long shots that aren't hitting. So I get, what's your new definition of a long shot now? Because I think I went back for the last like 35 tournaments. I think only two guys above 100 and hit, I think one of them was an opposite field fence. I think it was like Trey Mullinax or something. So, yeah.
And what, KH Lee probably would have been the other one, or
no? I think KH was, well, you know, I
could be thinking about the first KH Lee win. The second one was, probably
I think
like
he was
80.
Right around. I think he was right around 100. So that's a good call. Okay. It was him. It was Mullinax. And I think Mackenzie Hughes was exactly 100. Oh, and Spencer was 125.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, Svensson 125.
Yeah, but other than that, though, I mean, it's like 29 of the last like 33 tournaments have been like not even like they're basically 71 or under. So like, have you adjusted like just on the odds board what you?
Yeah, I mean, I think for starters, I do a collab article with Odds Checker where a bunch of the people who work with them, I guess, give their top long shot. I feel like we used to try to make it 100 to 1, 80 to 1. This year it's like over 50. We're at 50 now, like over 50 counts. In these sorts of fields, triple digits are now like super long shots.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like even in this field, like they're super long shots. Long shots are probably now the 70, 80 guys in a field like this, but honestly, once we go to elevated events and majors, I think 50 to 1 counts as a long shot.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. 40 to 1. Okay. 40 to 1 probably counts as a major long shot.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the books are recognizing that too. Like you look at some of these elevated events and just they're all compact. All the like the really, there's like 20 to 22 like really super good guys on the PGA Tour.
But it's so compact.
The
worst part is like when we have the scenario that we're in right now where Scheffler just won, Rahm is playing great, like contending every week, and Rory is in great form. I look at that and like, oh, that's like that gets me Cantley in the 30s, and I just can't resist that. And yeah, it just like eventually that gives a bump where anytime, like, gosh, should I go lower? And the situation just always creates these numbers that I'm such a freaking sucker for. I'm such a sucker for. Like I joked with Pat, but I did say if you had to put a tagline on me, like my success like if someone's like, you bring someone on, it's like, it's introduced me. It's like, yeah, his 2023 golf betting success is identifying Patrick Cantlay as a misprice at the Genesis. Like, that's literally my claim. That's the best thing I've done in golf outright betting this season.
All right, well, we're going to turn that around for you tonight. So, Jeff, all right, so why don't you start right at the top of the board? You said you didn't go with anybody under 40 to 1. So who's your first bet, I guess, at 40 to 1 then?
40, but honestly, just the smallest finger twist on Detry, you'll see, I'll have room for that. So
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Join the party.
Just watch this and talk through it. My peace of mind would have not been in a healthy place if he won before this conversation. Now that I have joined you and you are telling, you're like, Feinberg, I know you love Detry. Hi, we're in. Okay.
All right,
after that, I'm on Taylor Pendrith, the Canadian. I got 40 to 1. I see that has come down. You look at the numbers from Pebble a few weeks ago. His RSM numbers seems to play well on shorter courses.
Yep.
I'm a believer in the talent there. There's a lot I think I could say. Last year in his debut was a 25th. He fits that mold of guys that actually hit it really long, but do play quite well on shorter courses. We've seen that actually be quite a recipe for success here. I did mention that JT list playoff of a few years ago, even the Sungjae driving distances here. He's like the perfect player for that. And Pendrith is right in those ranges. I've mentioned I love wasting money on Woodland. Here because he was able to do everything I'm kind of speaking of. So I really do love Pendrith this week. I have bet him. I have that Adams fence in 60 that opened the week on bet365. So I guess that is under 40. But my number is 60. I wish I bet it harder. That was the quickest 60 to 30 tumble I've seen in golf betting in a while. I am like, it feels everybody or so many people on Hayden Buckley this week. I got a number in the 60. Is 60, and I have bet Danny Willett at 80. So those are four bets, and I'll just ream you the guys that I am swimming around. And if you want to sell me on any of them to add, there's room for it. So we've mentioned Detry. Obviously, I'm swimming around that Bobby Shelton love, not totally in on it. EVR, I've seen DraftKings bumped him to 100.
Oh, he's so scary with water, man.
So scary. I want to bet EVR, but I know when I bet EVR, that's a guaranteed 10 on a par 4.
Oh, fact.
Like a guaranteed. It's an interesting pairing. I think it was, he's with Cam Davis. They're either going to go unconscious or be real shit together.
Just follow each other into the water, fucking for the first nine holes.
Yeah. So yeah, those absolutely. Are the bets I have. I've mentioned a few other guys. Nick Hardy, I don't mind. Will Gordon. So there are a few others, but the four that I am in on are Pendrith, Svensson, Buckley, Willett.
Okay.
So Pendrith was somebody who I definitely was on early. And I know you're very familiar with One Curse.
I heard about this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm at the point, guys. I don't know. Like that stuff. I try not to like really get into that at all. I don't care.
I got you.
All right. Okay. If it's a final decision, like maybe. But like you, Pendrith was kind of like my first guy.
First off,
you're not going to talk me off my first guy. Yeah. With that, picking outright winners is hard. The person in question, he gives one name.
That's tough. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I would see myself in the same spot.
Yeah,
if I had to give one name a week.
I would never.
A year later, and people be like, "Oh, my guy's Feinberged."
Well, so. it's a one and done pick that he's basically giving out a one and done pick.
Yeah, like,
and that's
I'm not
it.
Getting into. Yeah, yeah, that's so,
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's just a fun. It's a funny bit.
Again, of course, and I do a show with Tim Anderson, and we live like that's. It's part of the bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I almost look at that now. That's got to end. That's just got to end. Good. it's gonna end. Hopefully it ends with
Penrith. Hopefully it ends with Penrith. Penrith. Yes. All right, Capper, what about you? All right, do you have share any names with Jeff or any of the ones he's been circling? Are you on?
I'm circling Gordon as well. Okay. I just don't know what to do with him. Here's the deal. I feel like Jeff too. Like, dude, I haven't hit a fucking outright since Keegan Bradley. That was during college football season. So, like, I am circling the fucking drain. The only thing that has kept me fucking, in the money is matchups and placements. That's it. And like, I just feel like, especially with a board like this, with the numbers, I just feel like a fucking deer in headlights, or like just, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I'm not seeing the board good. I like Will Gordon, but I feel like I'm just going to pick the losers that I like to normally pick, and hopefully they fucking hit. Because this is the week where if you don't bet the guys that you normally waste money on, why? What are you doing? Just bet the guys you normally
and
waste money
on. I've been in holes before, and you know how I got out of the holes? Is betting on my losers.
That's right, man.
That's the only way out of a golf hole. Unless you're literally going to, like, hand yourself over and be like, I could literally sit there and be like, okay, this week I'm just going to copy Pat and like cherry pick from a couple other people. Like, I don't trust myself. The next step, when I trust myself, sorry, when my trust in myself is so low that I can't even bet my own losers, you'll literally see me come on the show and be like, we're copying his card.
That's right. So like, I texted Baroff fucking earlier today. I was like, do any European losers have any chance? And he had Dietrich in there as well. So that made me happy.
Yeah,
I bet him last night. I'll probably end up fucking doubling down. So Vegas hit 45-1. He's one of my losers. Yeah. Striking the ball really well. Can't putt worth a lick. Putts well here. I fell in love with him at TPC back in the day when he drained that fucking like 90 footer. He's cashed a couple first round leaders for me. Like, he's one of my losers. So I'm going to bet him at 45-1. I don't know how Minwoo Lee became. When did I bet him, Steve?
When did you bet him?
Yeah.
It was not the Scottish Open because you had Dietrich.
I had Dietrich, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think probably one other European tour event that we might have bet Rogan and might have bet him on. Yeah.
And so whatever. And like, and to hear, the only thing that worries me is now, like, because I don't know dick about this dude other than the fact that I bet him once and he looked okay. All the steam he's getting right now on Twitter.
Oh, like, whatever, man. In this field with his world form, those Middle East events were stronger than this.
Hell yeah.
And Scott, like I said, like Sky Hook, who does that European Tour show. He's a European Tour junkie. I see his cards. He's got Minwoo Lee 28-1 on them in fields with Abe Anser and those other guys. So, to a total outsider, this Minwoo Lee number probably it feels low. Maybe it is low. I would only say relative to what his numbers were in really strong European Tour events in the Middle East.
Yep.
Those fields were stronger than this field.
Way stronger.
And he was 30-1 in those fields because of his form.
Yep.
He is used to wind. He hits it long and straight.
I bet the bullet, man. Like, 26-1, like, especially when I saw everything on Twitter. And listen, so Jeff, Florida, I don't have legal sports books. So I am at the mercy of whatever these shady locals put out. I don't even go on Twitter Monday mornings because I can't handle seeing everybody get all these numbers, like the Svensson number. By the time I got the Svensson number, it was 30-1, maybe.
Yeah.
Like 28 on one book. I have one book that had like 22. Like, I can't even use this book for golf. I mean, I bit the bullet and like, whatever, I'll take the talent. And I'll take the devil I don't know in a tournament like this versus the devil I do know.
Say that all the time. Rather play the ceiling of an unknown than like Zach Johnson.
Yeah.
100 out of 100.
Yep.
The unknown of some young guy's ceiling to me is worth so much more than what I know. Yeah, but
absolutely.
That could be dangerous because we've seen some crafty vets. The year that Sungjae won, Westwood was in control for so much of it. We've seen Patty Harrington win here about 5-6 years ago. So you've seen older guys plot around. Like, makes me worried Kuchar could plot around here perfectly potentially. We'll see.
Yeah, Kuchar was so like because I got Dietrich at 35, Vegas at 45, and then Lee at 26. There's no way I can put fucking Kuchar on the card. I could get the highest I can get him at is 28. I just can't do it. I need some long shots. That's why Gordon at 65. I was hoping some of you guys would come in here and give me some birds to hold on to and maybe get some long shots.
Okay. All right. So I made mention that I kind of tried to fill out my card with a lot of gut veterans, and there's going to be a lot of ugly picks. Jeff, we share one. I think maybe I can swing you on another because you mentioned him. So let's start with, I think, my ugliest pick, I think, which is saying something based on what my card is. I may mention a couple guys just over the last 6, 7, 8 months or so, like, you know, got a lot of win equity. They have some brand name behind them, maybe not coming in very well, but they fit this type of golf course. They've done well here. They've done well, these similar types of stuff. This is gross. Billy Horschel, 28-1. That kind of feels like that, you know, guy who's won a lot, very good in Florida, good on a lot of these tracks with a lot of water, a lot of penalty where you got to plot around, maybe get back on Bermuda.
It's the fairest number on the board.
Yeah.
I think it is. Like, I mean, given his talent.
I didn't bet it, but I literally said it could be better than fair, honestly.
Yeah.
Value. You really think about it. Like, yeah. a fair number in this game of outright golf is a win. If there's a guy you like, you think the number is fair, that's a win. Because never get fair numbers. I'd argue that Billy Horschel, based on the field, based on his Florida pedigree, based on all of that, this number is way more than...
Should be sub 20.
Way right. more than fair. Way more than fair. Yeah. No, I say all that as someone who didn't bet it, although right. I think I did a show with Pat and he bet it, and we see Ben Coley bet it. So two guys are smart enough to be like, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I am closer to Capper. We're like, nah, I'd rather chase that Minwoo Lee shit. Like,
that's right.
I didn't make a decision exactly. down here. Like psychopath.
Like, that's right.
If you bet on Minwoo, if you bet on anyone under like Denny McCarthy, Minwoo Lee, any of those guys, Chris Kirk, if you bet on them and Billy Horschel wins, you're going to feel like the biggest fucking idiot.
Oh,
it's like how I was back in the day when I'd bet on Finau at 24 instead of Morikawa at 24 and more like that. Like, I'm just saying, I'm not making the move under 30, but if you've made a move under 30 and Billy Horschel wins, you will feel stupid.
Oh, so stupid.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who I perpetually, him and Kevin Kisner are the arch nemesis. They don't know they have, because whenever I bet on them, they lose. Whenever I bet against them, they win. Matchup, placement, fucking outrights, doesn't fucking matter. The only time I got Kisner right is when he came. Oh, no, he didn't even fucking win. We lost in the playoff, didn't we?
Oh, at RSM to Robert Streb.
Robert Streb.
Oh, motherfucker.
Honestly, I'm still mad. That one actually, that one bugs me a lot. Because that goes to a playoff. Kisner versus Streb, match play guy. Like, this is
fucking ticket,
money.
Baby.
It's free money. Let's go.
God. Yeah. Oh. Man, we've triggered ourselves a lot with some scar tissue tonight. All right, so Horschel 20-1. That was first bet. Kind of another guy who's kind of fallen off a little bit, but he's won a couple times in the PGA Tour. Really good on Bermuda. I have some decent tracker and some, like, you know, these penal golf courses. How about JT Poston 40-1? I mean, he just finished T6 a couple events ago. He was doing really well for a while. Second at, you know, TPC River Highlands last year. Winner of John Deere as well. Listen, like, I just think we're not that far away removed from some really good golf. I just like the number 40-1 based on that. I also was on the Johnny Vegas 45-1 again, hitting the ball really good. Some action, like, if you actually look at like guys with like the course history here is up and down. He's had a lot of really like pretty consistent like finishes and like some, you know, good ones inside the top 20. I like the fact he's just hit the ball well and not really putting a whole lot. Maybe that can turn around this week. And then a couple of flavors of the week. I went with the Shelton 60-1 on him. I just like how he's playing. T6 at Amex a couple weeks ago. You know, that's a golf course with a lot of water on it. He was in the mix of Pebble as well. Kind of just faded on the back nine there. Some good finishes last fall. Kind of reminds me a little bit like, you know, as far as like, I mean, the lone exception I kind of point to was the Adam Svensson, you know, was a winner. He didn't really have anything before him, but, you know, that was a, you know, a journeyman, lost his car, came back. He's, you know, he's been around the block. I kind of like that. I'm a sucker for Ben Griffin as well. 70-1. I mean, that's just, I'm just a sucker for him. But I like the number. I'm also on Danny Willett, 80-1. Played well at Riviera last week. I have was maybe the, I'm just loyal to the fact that he cashed for me at the Masters, and I've seen him win some big time European Tour events. He's got that T7 at TPC Twin Cities last year. That's a golf course with a lot of water. I noticed that there's a lot of guys done well at TPC Twin Cities, done well here.
So. Seventh at Twin Cities. He was second at the Fortinet because he blew it to Homa. So right there, he shows you he's got a shit field. Something about, like, he seems to come up in a shit field, and then to see him play that well at the Genesis a week ago, it's got no business.
I'm a joiner.
We're Danny Willett guys here, clearly, but he's got no business, like, last week playing that well. I mean, even finishing 18th, not like the guy finished second, but you know what I mean. Like, he's just got no business being in the upper quadrant of that shit. But this is where we should get him. I really hope so.
I'm gonna tell you guys on him then.
Okay.
All right.
And then EVR 90-1.
You're on fucking EVR too.
I am on.
I'm not tailing that one.
You had the T6 just recently at Amex. He was coming off an injury, so I have good form there. There actually is some decent track record and some course with a lot of water on it. I mean, obviously, I mentioned T6 at Amex. T13 at the Players last year, a seventh at Liberty National. That's got a golf course with a lot of water on it, too. I think he's got a T20 at Murfield Village as well. So, you know what? I mean, we make a joke that if there's water, EVR is going to find it.
Yep.
But, you know, I think for 90-1 for a guy who's won on the PGA Tour, has been in the mix at some, like, bigger field events, been around the block. You know, I mean, that number kind of reminds me a little bit of Matt Jones a little bit when he won. So, an older name.
Matt Jones is a man. He doesn't wear joggers and have a fucking stupid, I make mixed cocktails for a living mustache.
Okay. Well, that's a journeyman who kind of has a brand name.
I'm not here for the mustache, but I will. Doesn't work for me. I'm short and chubby.
No, me either. I'm short and fat, dude.
Yeah, but if you got that tall, slender EVR, I'd be rocking joggers too if I had those legs.
But you can't. So here's the deal. So I see you got Jordans behind you, right? You can't wear joggers and Jordan fucking golf shoes.
No. You'd have to wear like.
You would have to pick one.
You'd have to pick one. Echoes or so. Yeah, you'd have to wear like. You'd have to mix them with some dad golf shoes. That's true. Yeah,
so you would pick the Jordan golf shoes over the joggers.
Listen, you could script the Jordan golf shoes wouldn't go with the joggers, but you could something for the
question
joggers.
All right, so let's say you were tall and slender. You could only pick one, the Jordan golf shoes or the joggers. Which one are you picking?
What does that mean? I don't like.
You look good in the joggers. You could one for the rest. One for that's it. You could only wear one.
I guess the Jordan golf shoes, but.
Exactly.
It would be good. That's I'd be like, I'd have been on a, I'd be a lot healthier if I picked the joggers angle.
Yeah, I guess. But look, subconsciously, you even picked the Jordans because you like your crown, you like your weed, and you like your food. So, you know.
I like a cheeseburger too much. Yeah, cheeseburger and soda. And I'm not losing that. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Nope.
All right. Jeff, do we sway on anybody to maybe add to the card? Or are you still mulling?
I mean, Detry, although that probably wouldn't have taken too much work.
Okay.
Maybe the Will Gordon. Will Gordon or Robbie Shelton. Something there, I mentioned EVR. It's going to be a plentiful card, but it doesn't start till 40. So,
okay. Capper, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the Gordon thing, he just scares me. I don't know. He's another guy who doesn't get right, but he's so good off the tee.
Yeah, I bet him at Pebble, and then he was right up there first on leader, and then he took a 9 on the last hole.
If you're you can argue, can make the case any way you want. You're crushing it off the tee.
Yeah.
You're coming in a much better position to avoid those hazards. And almost why I like the Johnny Vegas bet this week is because who cares if his putter's cold, he could still win in the sense that just make your two putt pars from 25 feet. But if he's playing well enough where he's contending, he's going to hit a couple balls each day to 3 feet. Johnny Vegas is. If you're betting Johnny Vegas, you're betting on a somewhat of a ceiling performance. He will in stock enough And you don't need him to drop any 20 footers.
Right. You need him to drop some. As somebody who's lost a lot of money on outrights with Johnny Vegas, he needs to drop some of those fucking 7 footers, though.
Yeah.
He needs
to drop a few of them. That's why I said 3 feet. Because if I put it behind, if I said 6 feet, then, he can still miss those.
Yeah.
No doubt. And I've bet against Johnny Vegas a lot, and you see that he's got 6 feet for birdie, and you're like, man, I'm not worried. He'll miss.
I'm good.
Well, here's what I like about the Vegas this week. So he finished T2 at Twin Cities, and that year that was the camp champion. And it was really windy over the weekend. It was not a birdie fest. Like, that got firm as well. That kind of actually resembled a little bit of PGA National that day.
And we almost won that one.
I know.
Camp champ taking driver off a fucking 18. He put it in the goddamn woods and still somehow stole my Vegas ticket.
Yeah.
Camp fucking champ. He was worth like 151, had made a fucking cut forever. God damn it.
And Vegas has so many. You look at like the sheets that have the great resources where you see all the like everyone's past finishes.
Yep.
Yeah. Vegas is the only guy that makes the cut here every year.
Exactly.
And that's an insane accomplishment when the volatility of how, top guys can just get blown. Yeah. Like, making 5 straight cuts here is probably, I know the field strength is weak, but it's worth to like a golf nerd weirdo. That is like some incredible accomplishment. So great job.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, you can only control the players you play against, but you control what the golf course you do. And this is a tough golf course. Like, at the end of the day, you got to beat this golf course. You got to avoid the water. And the fact that you're doing well enough to make the cut. Like, I know we rip on some of these dog shit players, but it's still really good players. You know, they're still really good golfers. So, making the cut 5 straight times, like, not having, like, the 80 or, like, 78, like, you know, on Thursday or Friday, just to, like, blow you away. That is a giant accomplishment for Vegas.
It's a nice comforting feeling when you have money on him.
Oh, wow.
He's destined to miss the fucking cut. Exactly. Now. We've all just fucking mushed him to death.
All right. So Jeff, do you have any other bets with Honda at all? Any positionals, any matchups, or
haven't gotten into any of that yet. No. Nope.
Okay. How about live bets this week? Got any of those?
I've made a couple, guys.
Oh, I have.
All right, what you got?
Okay. I've bet Mito Pereira 22-1.
All right.
I've bet Carlos Ortiz 40-1 at Bet Rivers. And I don't play each ways, but I actually played Ortiz with the each way. It seemed like pretty good. The field's small.
Yeah.
He's has such a great Mayakoba track record.
Yep.
So those are the bets that I do have. I've not like last year with Liv, it felt like guys, I didn't see that Grace or Charles or Stenson win, and I was never gonna bet the very top. I wasn't successful with Liv because I'd be betting into that second, third tier, and those guys never came home last year in Liv. Ever.
Yeah. It's like the start of this season.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I was never a believer, like, in a Charles Stenson Grace bet.
No.
And I joked, I kind of taken the strategy last year of, like, first touchdown tight ends, that 14, 16 to 1 guy in that next tier. But those guys were honestly horrible. The books are not giving it away. Abe Ancer might really win this thing convincingly. Maybe. He's played great well here before at Mayakoba. He's won, just won in the Middle East, so his form is great. I'd argue DJ and Cam, maybe you can get them not like in their full form yet. It's hard to know. But I've seen books where Ancer's 12-1 and Cam Smith is 11. So that's how... Yep. They're not letting us bet Abe Ancer, or we got to pay a premium to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I had a take on Cam Young at the Saudi, so I had the privilege of getting up early watching the Saudi, and Ancer played good. I mean, he played terrible at Dubai. I had a position on Ancer because I just thought, all right, well, maybe he's getting ready for the Saudi because he needs the world ranking points. He played great, though, and you're right, he's great in Mayakoba here, so there's a reason why he's definitely has a premium this week. Cabber, do you have any live bets?
So I wanted your guys' opinion on this.
Okay.
I didn't like any of the fucking the outright number because I wanted Ancer. I wanted Neiman. We'll see. But top 10. How many guys play this fucking tournament? It's 42?
48.
So for less than minus 150. Uh-oh. I can get Cam, DJ, and Neiman. They're all minus 150, the top 10.
That's a lot of juice.
Listen, man, juice only matters if you lose, right? That's true. All so
minus one.
No, not like, like, so like they're all separate. Not all in one bet.
Yeah.
One,
no,
like
yeah.
Cam's like minus 145. DJ was like minus 145, and Neiman was like minus 130.
Okay.
I didn't pull the trigger because I'm like, are these sucker bets? I can't. How many guys play in this fucking field? Like, I couldn't remember. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And this is another question. So this is on the same book. Let me ask you guys a bookie etiquette question. So this is a relatively new local. Okay. I've only bet with them for like 3 or 4 weeks. My placement bets are typically between $100 and $200 a piece, right? My top 20s, top 10s, whatever. For whatever reason, his system like glitched out. I went and checked it this morning and I was like, hey man, these two things are graded wrong. I was like, I didn't bet $11.38 to win fucking $10. I was like, these were 100, like the rest of my bets. And he's like, well, there's no way for me to know that. And I was like, well, if you go look at every single bet I've made with you over the past fucking month, nothing has been remotely close to $11. So I'm gonna need you to fix that. And he doesn't seem like he wants to. So I think I'm gonna go tell him to go fuck himself. Like, right? I mean, that's what I gotta do.
I'm confused. The bet, like all the other, some of the bets, like you put in 100, but it said
only two of them. Yeah, only two of them. And it was a weird number. It was like $11.38 and like $12.14. I'm like, bro, look at those numbers. Does it make sense?
Is there a timestamp of when you made the bets?
I don't know. I told him.
Was it like 3 a.m?
No, man. No.
Like, all my bets are the same. These ones, their units are different. I don't know. Like, and he's saying it's just your mistake. Tough luck, right?
Yeah. And I'm telling him, listen, he doesn't live in my fucking state. He can fucking pound sand. You want to fly to Florida for fucking $200? Go. Like, I'm not fucking paying you. Does that make sense? Or am I the dick? Because they all the top 20 bets I make are all at the same time. It's all during the day. Steve, it's not when I'm gin and tonic.
It's like a toss up for me.
I don't know. I think you're SOL on that one.
But it's bullshit. Like I was literally
a lot of stuff that happens in betting is bullshit.
I know.
Yeah, I made before we there's a couple more live guys.
Okay.
I could argue that there is value. I'm seeing 80s on Chikara.
Okay. Ooh.
And I don't know a ton about him, but I'm a loser that'll bet Taylor Morgan at 40 a lot because he's young thing and he's supposed to win. If this guy's really a top golf prospect, he won on the tour last year. Mm-hmm. Like if he is, you know, and if he was on the PGA Tour, so he'd be this rookie we'd be fawning over.
Oh, yeah. Drooling.
Like drooling, right? More than Taylor. Like, so that kind of maybe if he's as good as maybe as advertised, that number seems really high, I think.
Agreed. You can get him. So on one of my clubs, you can get him 4-1 as top Spaniard just to beat Sergio and Puig.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that seems pretty decent. And a guy I've seen such a crazy, like looking at the, let me show it to my, I guess I'm wearing the sweatshirt at Odds Checker. Danny Lee, he's 100 in a couple spots, 60 at a few others. I'd only say 100 is, how do I put this? We don't know. You're playing armchair psychologists with a lot of guys. Like, how are they entering the season? This is a new thing. What is their new normal? Danny Lee is literally coming in game ready. Now, I'm not saying he's playing great, but he's game ready off the PGA Tour, whereas guys in their first event. So bet 365, it's 100-1. I might play the each way with that.
Okay.
I don't know. That seems disgusting. I never bet on Danny Lee. The guy's game ready. He's actually hitting his irons decently.
Yeah.
He can play. I don't know. There, you guys can give me your thoughts on Chikara and Lee, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like it's. I think Lee's problems have been mostly with the putter, but past Palom can be weird. I mean, I've seen some guys on past Palom; they've really bad putters, and they kind of just turn around there. So, I mean, maybe he just is a past Palom guy. I'm not really sure. And listen, Chikara is a very talented guy. I think for 80-1 on him. I mean, he already won it Singapore, right? So, I think that's fine. You know, I mean, I don't have much on Shakara, but I think, listen, I think with Liv, kind of the approach I'm taking this week, I'm not betting a whole ton. It's kind of just to have something, just kind of sweat it. I kind of just bet my guy. So if you just like, if you like Shakara, go for
it. He's not my guy. But the thing is, I'm worried I could get into a rabbit hole where I make him my guy and I'm going to end up betting him a lot. But, you know, like anyone, I love the first overall. Like, I love drafts. I love the top prospects. Not even so much betting. Like, I buy into the hyperbole and the hype. I just feel like if this guy's actually a top golfing prospect, then 80-1 seems insane in such a small field.
Yeah, that seems surprising considering he has one on Liv. Like, I would think, like, I'm just trying to think where the other.
I forgot, that's right. He already won on Liv.
Yeah. So, like Kokrak was like 50-ish this week.
Kokrak.
Like, I would think it's probably a little low for Shakara, I think, considering he's won on this
thing. And I've seen it. It says low as 60. But again, I'm just buying into, like, we're here betting Taylor Morgan. Taylor Montgomery a lot. Like, why
exactly
should this guy not be, if he's that for Liv, then
yeah,
I don't know.
That's okay. There you go. All right. So I bet four guys, honestly, like I just said, like, I'm just kind of looking to win like five or six units. So my outright card kind of looks like a mess. I don't really care. I kind of just bet on my guys. We'll see what happens. So I think I would just commit to just betting Joaquin Niemann. I just love that guy. I saw him play a lot in Saudi. Cashed a top 10 for me, barely. He cashed top 10, but played well, I think, the next week in Oman. He's just been playing good since on Liv. I think he's a really talented player. Like, I mean, the number sucks at 10-1, but he's got a good finish in Mayakoba. Again, like, I'm not betting a ton on this thing. I just like betting on him. So 10-1 on him. I like betting on Matthew Wolf, 20-1. He's got a fifth place finisher. He's playing really good too. Final group at Saudi. It seems like the move to Liv has been really good for him. Like, I know we joke about a lot of the guys who've gone over, but like, that guy definitely seemed like he was not cut out for the PGA Tour. Get him over here. He's already paid. Seems like that's freed him up. And he's a newsflash, a really talented golfer who was in final group of the US Open.
Did he get traded from one of the teams? I wasn't able to keep track.
I thought he wasn't maybe with Phil anymore.
Yeah, I think
Josh Perry, who I respect a lot.
Yeah.
He's on, that was his top pick this week, I think, was Matt Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf is playing really good golf, like, on Liv. Like, I think he finished, second in Boston, then one in Saudi. That's the Royal Greens golf course in Saudi. That's past Palm as well, so that's a good, you know, grass comp there. Anirban Lahiri is also playing good golf. He's got a couple second-place finishes over in Indonesia. I think he finished T12 at Saudi. That's a guy who almost, broke your heart.
Anirban is the type of guy I'd have bet in a full field PGA, PGA event at one of these stupid little island places like Mayakoba.
Right. Well, he's got four top 20s.
You know what I mean? Way.
And second place of players, sixth at Wells Fargo. He's got some good finish. I think he was like eighth at Wyndham before he left for PGA for Liv. So
Lahiri was a good, consistent top 20 bet for me.
Yeah.
All the fucking time.
The only question is now you're like, there's a part of armchair psychologists, which guys, I'm not saying they don't care. Just like, they're starting their golfing year differently than they've ever started. It's like just a new normal. In the same way last year when Liv started, I was like, just adapting to their new normal. Like, it's just all weird and different. And some guys are going to be, we're going to see it. You're going to see some guys are just, even the lesser players are going to be gangbusters, like maybe a Munoz or something.
Possibly. Yeah.
I'll equate it to like, spring training, right? For baseball, right? Pablo Sandoval for the fucking Red Sox. Signed him from the Giants. Yep. Huge deal. Shows up 100 fucking pounds overweight. His belt explodes during batting practice. So, like, which guy is going to get the money and not give a fuck? Like Pablo Sandoval, which guy's going to get the money and want to be on?
We know Answer's been playing. He's been playing great. He's been playing well. He did that overseas thing. Louis, to me, could just be walking off a tractor.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea.
Exactly.
Well, Louis, I think Louis played Saudi, didn't play good. I think he played Oman, didn't play good. Near to Brooks, by the way. That was pretty sad that he was in Oman.
Well, first of all, Oman is such a terrible country. I've been there. It's hot and it's fucking miserable.
I like how the guys, how Liv essentially uses the Middle East swing as their spring training now, right? Like, and then what? Answer one. That's no small feat. Geez, we could do this forever. Yeah. I didn't bet him. Harold Varner at 40, I don't know that it's crazy on a shorter little attack with your irons golf course either.
That's not bad.
Seems very fair. I've bet him at freaking the RBC at way less,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
A lot.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then there's another guy down that range, I bet. I mean, Leishman's playing good golf. I'm not really sure about the course fit here. I mean, he hasn't really had a good finish at Mayakoba, but I think T12 at the Australian PGA, I think that Cam Smith won. He was playing really good at Saudi. I watched a lot of that Saudi tournament. I thought he looked really good. So, I mean, give me 45-1 for Mark Leishman.
I bet against Leishman in the top Aussie. It's basically Smith, him, and I don't know who the other fuck.
Jedi Morgan, maybe.
Yeah, Jed Morgan or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it was minus 145 in a matchup. And I was like, Cam Smith versus Mark Leishman, 145 in a matchup. Yes, okay. All day. Thank you. All day.
All right. Well,
because I don't even equate that third guy. That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, just those four guys. I mean, whatever. It's live. I just wanted a little bit of a sweat this weekend. If it turns out there's just a bunch of bums at the top of the leaderboard at Honda and I'll have a bet on it, I got something.
You want to sweat, but you're also prepared to have not seen a second, looked at the leaderboard twice, and been like, shit, I lost.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Dude, I did that.
Throwing away a year and a half, basically. Just what
I live bet DJ. Money. I live bet DJ whenever he won because I was drunk at like 1:30 in the morning after too many gin and tonics, and I was trying to chase some stupid fucking bet. I was like, I'll just put fucking $250 on DJ. Let's go. And it was like 5-1, and I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh fuck, what did I do? And like 3 hours later, I remember the check, and I was like, oh hell yeah, let's go,
DJ. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Let's fuck.
All right, well, Jeff, thank you very much for joining our show tonight. You want to give me any plugs before we get you out of here?
Plug all your shit, man.
You find my work. I do my weekly videos with Pat over at Mayo Media and oddschecker.com/US. I'm also making a live preview video for them as well. Ooh. You can see my outright PGA picks thoughts there. But if you've watched this, I kind of just, shared them with you guys. But yeah, Oddschecker, Mayo Media, that's where you can find me.
Okay. Like we love having you on, man. It's a pleasure. And yeah, man, the first time you came on, I had to pitch myself to not be a fanboy. So I really appreciate you coming on a second time. Glad I didn't fuck it up the first time.
I can promise you, just ask, there'll be a third. But I'm going to run here. You. Thanks so much, though, guys.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. All right, so I guess you want to go over the rest of the betting card? We're already fucking pretty deep.
Just no, it's fine. You know what? It's been an hour. We'll throw it on our betting card that we release on Twitter. But thank you to Jeff for coming on. That was a lot of fun. And we hope you guys have a good Honda Classic.
Let's go. Let's break them fucking books.